years in the making. Star Wars.
The Empire strikes back. The Star Wars saga continues.
The next chapter in the Star Wars saga, Return of the Jedi.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Accelerate to attack speed.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
What a strong X-Wing.
The last remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away.
Use the Force, Luke. Let go.
This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of Kenobi. It will soon see the end of the rebellion.
The Force will be with you. Always.
It is time for a new episode of Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. You like my epicness there?
I do like it. It's pretty friggin' epic. It makes me want to pee a little bit.
It's been an epic week. You know, as we know, Star Wars Celebration just happened. And speaking of, go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com where you can find the latest that happened at Star Wars Celebration. Including a little trailer that hit.
Just a little one.
That's the big news. We're going to get to that in just a minute. And did you think of a Star Wars question of the week? We always ask each other a Star Wars question so people get to know their podcasters more.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I do have one.
Because I don't.
Okay. So Star Wars Celebration, I don't know if you got to catch it. I think our friend Brian shared it. But they reenacted the ending scene from Rogue One. Yeah, with Darth Vader.
Yeah, it looked kind of silly them running through the convention hall, but yeah. I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they used an ATM for
the,
so that is, you know, probably my favorite scene of Rogue One from our, you know, probably one of my favorite Sith Lords. So you always want a Sith Lord to be, you know, powerful, and you want him to be a great adversary. And in that scene, I think, you know, Darth Vader, that's probably my favorite Darth Vader scene I've ever seen.
The most action the guy had in the whole
film? Yeah, so it's the most action. So, of course, it's going to be my favorite Vader scene. So I would probably ask you, what's your favorite, what is your favorite action sequence from the nemesis of Star Wars, the Sith Lords in particular?
I've always really like the battle between Luke and Darth at the end of Return of the Jedi. I like the battle in Empire Strikes Back because, in a different way, because Luke is still learning. There's a fear to it that he's fighting this guy he doesn't know at that point is his father yet. And there's this, and when the moment comes that he reveals he's his father, it makes that battle seem all the more epic. But something about that battle of Return of the Jedi, the emotion of it, John Williams' score is fantastic, feeling the emotion as Luke fights his father. And that's probably my favorite action sequence between a Sith and another character in the trilogy. It might not be my favorite action sequence in all the Star Wars films, but that is my favorite, you know, since we're talking Sith moment. And, of course, the fight with Darth Maul is really cool, too, even if it is overly choreographed.
Yeah, Ray Park, you know, credit to Ray Park for doing, you know, having an awesome action
sequence. Something about Luke versus Vader in Return of the Jedi is just epic. And I'm not talking about, not even the part where the Emperor's involved, just that initial fight between the two of them. And, you know, he just is unleashing on his dad and controls his hatred and ends up not killing him. You know, he holds back and just cuts his hand off. Yeah,
revealing that he has the same hand missing.
Right,
on his own.
It's hard to beat that moment. So, what's your favorite Sith? Well, you just said Darth Vader scene.
The Darth Vader scene.
So you answered your own question by asking me the question.
Yeah, yeah. I first answered I answered my question before I asked it, and then had you answer that question.
You're not supposed to do that.
Am I not? I'm supposed to wait.
You did it. So
I could pick another one.
It's okay.
Okay.
It works. We have a lot to talk about. Star Wars Celebration, we're going to talk about the Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer in a minute. You know, I felt a little underwhelmed by this celebration in some ways. The Last Jedi trailer was such a big deal. Nothing else really came out of this other than the Rebels news, which we're going to get to a little bit. We did get a look at Battlefront 2,
yeah.
Which we know is a single-player campaign this time. It will have some multiplayer stuff, but the focus of the game this time is a single-player campaign where you play an Imperial soldier who's, I think, is she a member of the First Order, from what I understand? It's going to take place during that time?
It looks like it, because, yeah, it's like, you know, they destroyed our, they took down our Emperor, you know.
Like right after Return of the Jedi kind of thing. And it looks really cool.
Looks like it has Thrawn in it.
Yeah. And it looks like everyone's in it.
Yeah.
From Kylo to Darth Maul. Looks like there's prequel era, Clone War era stuff. I guess a lot of that's in the multiplayer or the maybe the survival missions. Who knows?
Probably.
They said there's no DLC this time. There's no season pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means exactly. Free DLC is becoming more popular because they're starting to realize it's a lot to release a $60 game and ask people to spend another $60. So maybe we're going to get some free DLC for this. You know, we'll see. That's becoming a very popular trend now. More and more games are starting to give out free DLC.
That'd be awesome.
And so we'll see. Battlefront is a cool Star Wars series. But as much as I think Battlefront 2 is cool, I wanted to see more Star Wars games. You know, it's like ever since Lucasfilm got bought by Disney, it's like all we've had is Battlefront. It's like, where's some other stuff, man?
What about a Mortal Kombat style Jedi versus Sith game?
I could see that.
Yes.
But what happened to the Star Wars 1313 game, which was supposed to be about the Star Wars Underground and the bounty hunters and all that, that was in active development, and it just fell apart, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my hope, is to see some more Star Wars games. As far as news out of Celebration, the reason I felt underwhelmed is, like, we had the Battlefront trailer, the Last Jedi trailer, and the Rebels news. There was nothing about the Han Solo film.
Nothing.
I thought we'd get a title, a look at the movie. Maybe not a look at the movie, but some pictures from the set.
Poster.
Sets. Nothing. And that just felt really underwhelmed. It's like, I guess they're talking at D23, maybe, the Disney conference in August. Maybe we'll get something.
Maybe.
Kathleen Kennedy has said that there will be possibly the announcement of the third spinoff film at D23. So did you feel underwhelmed in that department?
Yeah, I feel like the only thing big that we got out of Star Wars Celebration was the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, that was what it was all about. But then again, that's all we were really, really, really looking forward to.
That was,
you know, if we had to choose one thing that we wanted to get out of Star Wars Celebration weekend, it was a trailer and, you know, maybe some more, you know, in-depth perception as to what's going to happen in The Last Jedi.
Right. The other big news is no Carrie Fisher in Episode 9.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of speculation where they're going to use archival footage, CGI, stand-ins, whatever. But they came out and said no Carrie Fisher.
Maybe she dies.
Well, either that, or maybe they got together with their brainstormer, the excellent writers Disney has, and they figure out a way to write the story without her in it. You know, we know the script for episodes 9 is done. Colin Trevorrow has even said as such, and he expects pre-production to start this summer. So, maybe there's a lot that could be there. Maybe they just found a way to write her out of the story without her dying. Maybe she does die, but I think it would be a disservice to the character of Princess Leia, General Leia at this point, to kill her. You know, it just doesn't seem right after Carrie Fisher's passing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have to have faith in the writers to see what they do.
Just have a little faith.
But I also feel this is the best thing. Because you see how, you know, you see films where an actor has died. The most recent example is Paul Walker in the Fast and Furious movies. And it does harm the film if you're trying to put together with archival footage, because you have to write around that character. And I, not that it would harm Star Wars, because Star Wars is so big, but I think it might be for the best. Just to remove the character, put them off into the sunset some way, somehow, and we'll see how they do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe they thought, because of Fast and the Furious, you know, the way Fast and the Furious, you know, it had the ode to Paul Walker, maybe Star Wars was going to do the same with Princess Leia. But I think they did that with the that's another cool little montage that came out of Star Wars Celebration weekend, the homage to Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, and if you watch that video, which is on TrustMeAndJedi.com, it's hard to watch and not get a tear in your eyes.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. Some really neat footage in there that people had not seen before. And so let's get to the Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer hit Friday morning, and the world exploded.
Yes.
It was all over the internets within like 3 or 4 minutes. It was the biggest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's safe to say Star Wars crashed the internet on Friday morning. And, first thoughts.
It's, well, like we had talked earlier, it's dark. It's
when did we talk earlier?
You know, like whenever it happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely dark.
Did you just fart or was that the chair?
That was a chair. Oh, okay. I can do it again. It does. I'm twisting. It sounds like a toot. So both trailers, the teaser trailers that we got for Force Awakens and the one that we got for Last Jedi, both start off with some heavy breathing.
I saw that they're very similar yeah. to the way they're shot.
So, you know, it's like, I guess that's the theme, you know, so, you know, I guess we'll get a third, the third teaser trailer will show someone just gasping for air somehow. it looks like she feels something, like some big disturbance.
Right.
And Leia's not in Episode 9. Maybe that's the disturbance she feels. Who knows?
Possible.
Because what did Leia do whenever Han died? And she felt the disturbance in the Force.
Right.
She grabbed her heart. Rey fell to the ground. I don't know if Leia's that, you know, means a whole lot to Rey at this point. To have that kind of effect. But she feels something. You know, Luke asks her what she sees whenever she's peering into the Force, and she sees light and darkness.
Right.
So maybe this is...
And she you know, does she say something about no balance or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this is the ode to the Grey Jedi. The talk of this Grey Jedi aspect.
There's been a lot of talk about that, and we're going to get a little speculation of that here in a second. And, you know, we finally get to see Luke speak, which is a big thing. He says, what do you see? And then he tells her, breathe, just breathe. The big lines at the end, I only know one truth, the Jedi must end. A lot of people thought that was Adam Driver's voice for a while, because it did. I had to really listen to it. And I
thought it was Benicio Del Toro's voice.
No, I knew it wasn't Del Toro. I knew it was either Driver or Luke. But I really thought it was Adam Driver, because I thought, okay, they're going to give Kylo a line in it. But then I started thinking, it's not quite deep enough for Adam Driver's voice. He kind of had, and then Mark Hamill confirmed it is him, because there were a lot of people who weren't sure if that was Luke's voice.
Because it's dark.
Yeah, and it's definitely, well, it's not even the character standing. I think you knew the character standing in the cave was Luke, but it's like, whose voice was it? Because Mark Hamill usually is very loud and very high pitched voice, and when he's talking quietly and deeper like that, it was hard to tell it was him.
Yeah.
But they have confirmed it is Mark Hamill, and that's the big news. It's like, what does he mean, the Jedi must end? I think it seems pretty safe now that the Last Jedi is Luke Skywalker from the title. And it's somewhat confirmed by Rian Johnson, that the director, that Luke is the Last Jedi, that Jedi is not plural. So he looks like he's training Rey in this. And a lot of speculation. You know, there's people that think, does Luke go evil? Or has he toyed with the dark side in this? I think that that's too... I think that's too easy, and I think it ruins Return of the Jedi if Luke goes evil, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe Luke has lost balance, so maybe he's toyed with it, but he's not there. And so maybe Rey, he's hoping Rey can maybe, by training her, maybe she brings some balance?
There's talk. Okay, so there was a rumor
There's also the Grey Jedi thing.
Yeah. There was a rumor that she was like this... apparition of the Force, similar to Anakin, and that there's a story. Now, this story that was told to her and through a vision. Maybe the vision that she sees is that there is a girl and a boy,
mm-hmm.
and the boy learned that if he got closer to this tree, as he drew closer to this tree and spent time near it, he grew stronger, but he also grew angrier and more hateful and vengeful. And this was supposed to be the first two Force users, the light side and the dark side. He kills the girl who started the Jedi Order. Basically, this girl starts the Jedi Order, and the guy is the one close to the tree. Now, they're you know, basically speculating that Kylo represents the boy and Rey represents the girl.
So where's this source from, though?
This is from a leaked script.
Oh, okay.
But apparently the passage of the story is verified, that there is something to the tree and the story of that tree, and that the girl dies, but she tells her followers and her students that she will return in another form, reborn. So maybe Rey is born out of the Force. Like Anakin, maybe they do go there. there's also, you know, speculation that, you know, she's the Emperor's granddaughter, and that's the dark side, you know, kind of tie into it. So, you know, we'll see what this all means, what this all means put together. Maybe Luke wants to stop this cycle because, you know, as Yoda said, you know, to Anakin, you know, you have too much fear in you. You know, fear leads to hatred, you know, leads to the dark side. You know, this leads to this, leads to that. Maybe he feels like Jedi get turned, you know, and it's there's no way to stop it.
Right.
And it just causes all this damage.
It may be in Luke's isolation after losing Ben to the dark side. Maybe he feels that, and then Han is, and we all know that Luke probably knows Han died. He probably felt it in the Force.
Mm-hmm.
That he feels that there's no way to ever balance it. That maybe that it's time for the Jedi end. And maybe he feels that if the Jedi end, the Sith will end also, because there's no need for Sith.
Yeah.
But at the same time, doesn't evil always rise somehow? And there's a lot of speculation what it means. The idea of the Gray Jedi is in the old canon, but there's been a lot of people that think that it might stay around. They might bring the Gray Jedi. Where, if I remember right, weren't the Gray Jedi kind of people that used to be Jedi? They still believe in the Force, but they don't really...
Like they use the Force, but they don't. They're not light or dark. They're just a Force user,
right? Yeah. So maybe that could be a direction they're headed. It would be an interesting direction. I certainly hope that the theory of Luke is evil is not true. I hope he doesn't die in this film. I'd like to see Luke stick around through Episode 9. You know, because if you start killing off everybody, like if Han's dead, Leia's dead, I don't want Luke to die too. You know?
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
Right. So. What does the end of the Jedi mean? What will it mean? We don't know. It's fun to speculate, though.
Some people... I saw a rumor out there that Snoke was the last Jedi.
I don't know what to think of Snoke anymore. It's so hard to tell who this guy is exactly or what he is. You know, it's there's been a lot of theories from a book that's out there about what he might be. But do we even know Snoke uses the Force? As far as we know, it's just some sort of alien creature that has a hologram. You know, we haven't really seen him do anything. But as far as we know, he could be leading Kylo Ren in just the wrong direction for his own needs. You know?
That's what it seems like he wants. That's what Han felt like.
Right.
That's what he was doing. And that whenever he's done with Kylo, you know, he's just going to kill him.
Because do you not feel that Kylo is not as far lost as even Vader was? Because Kylo struggled with his own... feelings in The Force Awakens. Like, he could be redeemed.
He couldn't kill Han by himself. And I think that maybe we'll see... Maybe this will start off with that scene where, you know, Han... Maybe it'll show Han pushing the button, you know, himself.
Well, we never confirmed that. That was a fan theory that Han pushes the button. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely a fan theory. So. But and we'll see. It's, you know, there's... It answers some questions.
Right.
You know, but it brings a bit of a whole lot more.
Right.
You know, the B-wings were confirmed.
Right.
There was a rumor of a destroyed X-wing and a base.
And that's one thing people aren't talking about. That short space shot in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Because one thing I really enjoyed about Rogue One was the epic space battle in it. And we didn't really have that in Force Awakens. We had the X-wings on the planet trying to destroy the Starkiller base. And I was like, wow, looks like we're going to get a really cool space battle in The Last Jedi. And I'm looking forward to that. I love great space battles. And you're right. We saw the B-wings in there. You know, it looks like a new version of the A-wing in the trailer, too, people were pointing at. All I know is, man... It could be, we are so lucky to live in an era where we're going to get a fucking Star Wars movie every year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And started last year and then continuing into 16 and now into 17 and 18 and 19 and 20. We're going to have Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. And they confirmed that they have Star Wars films planned in the next decade, even though they haven't said what they are yet.
I wonder if there's going to be a fourth set of trilogies because I mean, it has to go somewhere else.
Right.
The Jedi can't end.
No, I think they're going to make a 10, 11, and 12 eventually. I think they're going to continue these on. I really do have a feeling they'll continue the spinoff films with different eras. The Star Wars universe is untouched. You know, another thing to point out about the idea of The Last Jedi, okay? A lot of fan theories are talking about ending the Jedi, but, you know, people have such a hard time forgetting the old canon. Knights of the Old Republic, all that doesn't exist anymore. So if you take just what we know now from the original films, the prequels, the new film, and the animated series, how much do we really know about the Jedi? Almost nothing. We know they were Guardians of the Peace and that they used the Force. That's all we know. All that stuff that people keep thinking about Knights of the Old Republic really doesn't exist. And I think people forget that as to what we really know about the Jedi. So there can be so much meaning behind the balance of the Force, mm-hmm. the battle between the light and the dark, and what Luke means exactly by the Jedi end. Because we are in new territory here that we've never reached before in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Because of the new canon, they're able to create new things, you know.
I do like that they are bringing back, you know, they brought back Thrawn and
they brought
Rebels.
Back a few things from the old canon, yeah.
And that's Disney, so it's like, you know, maybe they, you know, they will bring back some more old canon. Right.
So we'll see. We'll probably have another trailer sometime, maybe around Comic-Con. Last Jedi is 8 months away, so I'm sure we'll get more between now and then.
Oh, yeah.
It's super exciting. Go to TrustMeJedi.com and watch the trailer another 10 times if you haven't.
Yeah. I had to watch it like 3 or 4 times because I was at work and I was trying to do...
Right. I did the same thing. Yeah. I came home and had to watch it a few more times. So the other big news out of Celebration was we got the Star Wars Rebels Season 4 trailer, which was kind of a surprise that we got a trailer this early. Usually they wait till Comic-Con for the trailer. But they also announced it'll be the final season of Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
And as sad as I'm going to be to see this crew go, I'm okay with that. I like the idea of a series. And they say it has nothing to do with the ratings or anything like that. That it's they feel it's time to end. And Dave Filoni's already confirmed that they're working on something new that they aren't ready to announce yet. But we'll get more animated Star Wars after this. So I'm okay with this Toya story, and he said this season will take more of a Rogue One type feel, but he said it won't address the battle at Scarif, that they're going to stop before that, but it will address some things of how the series ends. And so we've been the last couple of episodes talking about the idea of Remnants of the Rebellion is we always talk about Star Wars history and things that have happened in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Droids animated series. Last episode we talked about Star Wars The Clone Wars, so today we were going to talk about Star Wars Rebels so far for the first 3 seasons, and it looks like from the trailer for season 4, a lot of emotion, a lot of stuff's going to happen. I think it's safe to say that Kanan will probably die.
Yes.
Ahsoka may be back, they're saying. But we know that Chopper and Hera were in Rogue One, so we know they survive. We don't know about Zeb, but it would be safe to assume that Zeb probably goes off to do his own thing. I could see him leaving after Kanan. We know all the Jedi aren't around in A New Hope, so I think that's why it's safe to say that Kanan dies. I think Ezra maybe goes off and does his own thing because he never becomes a Jedi. Mm-hmm. He just trains. A lot of speculation, but let's talk about Rebels so far, okay, on this show. One thing I really love about Rebels is we talked about the Clone Wars the last episode, and the one problem I had with the Clone Wars was not the storytelling, was that it's still... at times felt prequelish.
Yeah, it did.
And prequel-ish. One thing I love about Rebels is from the first 5 minutes of episode 1 back 3 years ago, you feel like you're in the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
From stormtroopers and land speeders to the moisture vaporizers. It feels so much like Star Wars more than the Clone Wars ever did.
Wasn't he on Tatooine, Ezra?
It was on Lothal.
Lothal. Okay.
Most of it takes place on Lothal, which is similar to Tatooine planet. Yeah. Kind of dusty and grimy. And that's my favorite thing about Rebels. From the music to the sound effects to the look of it, you're in the Star Wars universe. Fully enthralled and fully involved in it. And it fits right there in that era. Taking place 5 years before A New Hope. And is that how you feel about Rebels?
That's how I feel. I mean, Rebels is Star Wars. It is pure Star Wars. It is a lot different than Clone Wars. Where Clone Wars was heavily affiliated with the prequels.
And serialized storytelling in Clone Wars.
Yes.
More like an old movie serial.
Yeah, old movie serial, for sure. We got something fresh. We got something, different with the new characters we haven't seen before. And, it's been awesome watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Ezra's journey, seeing, you know, what he might turn into.
Right. And a lot of great moments in the show. Like, with Clone Wars, it was more action-packed battles and stuff. Where in this, like, every episode seems to have, like, this moment where you go, wow. Starting from the very beginning where we first see Kanan reveal himself as a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to in the recent season finale of season 3, to Thrawn just unleashing hell on the planet trying to stop the Rebels. these moments like that that just shout to you Star Wars. And we said before on this show and on our other podcast on Rebel Radio that don't dismiss Star Wars Rebels for being on Disney. That if you're a Star Wars fan, you really, really should watch this.
Yes.
Because it's that good. So what are your favorite moments on the show so far in the first three seasons?
Oh, dude. Ahsoka versus Darth Vader. Definitely.
Yeah.
Probably number one, mm-hmm. I would say. You know, whenever she feels that, you know, she reaches out and feels that Anakin is Darth right. Vader. And that's, you know, she walks away limping from that fight. And luckily with her life, because of how skilled she is. And then, of course, I know your favorite, you know, one is Kanan. Mm-hmm. Whenever he steps out
right.
and he's a Jedi. Now, I know we suspected it the whole right. time. It may have leaked before. I forget.
Oh, I think it was out before the show even hit. Yeah. And at the beginning of that same season, at season two, when Darth Vader's first revealed that he, he first shows up in the show, he shows up briefly at the end of season one, but and he comes after Kanan and Ezra on that base as they're trying to escape, and he just unleashes his power to try to get them, and Kanan is like, no, Ezra, we can't fight. We have to go. We're going to die.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader's just standing there as everything crumbles around him, just like the badass that he is, you know? And that was a really cool scene. I really like the addition of characters like Lando.
Yeah.
We got to see Leia briefly. Bringing Hondo back from the Clone Wars was cool because the character works in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those were great moments. And I've really enjoyed season three, seeing Admiral Thrawn on screen. Because I had read about him years ago in the comics and in the books and stuff. And I always thought he was a really cool character. And that's one guy from canon I'm glad they brought back. And to see him, and he's voiced by Mads Mikkelsen's brother. I can't remember the guy's name, but they sound alike because they're brothers, obviously. And he does a great job of bringing the character to life. And Admiral Thrawn is probably as badass as Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do whatever it takes. He's cold. He's going to do whatever it takes to get what he needs for the Empire. And
he'll blow up whatever he needs to in his path.
Right. And he doesn't care who stands in his way. And I really like seeing Thrawn on screen. Those have been some of my favorite moments of the show, along with yours. And do you have a favorite character?
I really like Kanan. I like Kanan as a, you know, as he's grown from like a, he's really an unfinished student. He's a mm-hmm. student that really didn't get to finish his training, as we saw in his first battle with the Inquisitor.
Right, because he had to escape Order 66.
Yeah, and, you know, and then he's, you know, kind of, he has to mentor Ezra because he sees this gift. And Ezra, so he rises to the occasion, and you know, almost, you know, I see him as, you know, almost a Jedi Master, you know, because of his wisdom, his ability to feel the Force, and other things while being blind, and his ability to train and get the most out of people, you know, especially when he's training, you know, with the Black Saber.
Yeah.
I forget her character's name.
Sabine.
Yeah, with the Black Saber.
Yeah, I like Kanan a lot. I've liked Ezra. I like watching journeys of characters. That's why I really enjoy the character Luke in Star Wars, and I like seeing Ezra's journey as he goes through and struggles with learning the ways of the Force, but also is tempted by the dark side, and of course Darth Maul tempting him.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that arc with Darth Maul. I think we talked about in the last episode with the Clone Wars, where Darth Maul had a really great story arc. And when I first heard they were bringing him back to life, I was like, well, this could be silly. But Darth Maul had a really interesting story arc, and the way they brought him back made sense. And we talked about on the last episode that we were going to talk about in this show how Darth Maul's arc continues, along with Ahsoka, who was on Clone Wars. And they brought Darth Maul into this, and he's tries to act like he's reformed. He wants to help Ezra, but yeah. We all know that he really has his own means. He would love to have Ezra to be his apprentice. And he tries to lure Ezra the wrong way, but he does it so subtly to try to keep Kanan and the crew from picking up on it. But Kanan's no fool.
Yeah.
He knows that Darth Maul is up to no good. And so Darth Maul sort of stalks the ghost crew around, kind of following them, and shows up at different times and trying to get Ezra to join him. And of course, and it almost works at the end of season two, where Darth Maul does almost lure him in, and Kanan's able to pull him out just before it happens, and that's when Darth Maul starts taking on the seventh sister and fourth brother, whatever they were called.
Yeah.
And he takes on their battle, and in the midst of it all, he blinds Kanan, of course, at the end of season two.
Trying to get Ezra.
And him and Ezra run off, and Maul is left behind, seemingly to fight them, and And we go from there. And, of course, we are left with the epic Ahsoka-Vader fight, which brings me, before we come back to Darth Maul's arc, that brings me to Ahsoka's arc. First season, they were given information for the rebellion through the Fulcrum. And we didn't know who the Fulcrum was till the end of season one. It was revealed that it was Ahsoka Tano, that she had been helping the rebellion through her means this whole time. And so it brought her story arc. We didn't know where she went after Clone Wars. She had disappeared after being put on trial and by the Jedi Order and was dismissed from the Jedi Order. And we know now that she's been helping the rebellion in secret all this time. And we get to see her arc come full fold in season two as she helps the rebels throughout it. And then, of course, at the end of the season, the epic battle with Darth Vader when she realizes that's her former master, Anakin Skywalker. And quite an epic battle those two had. They don't kill each other. She slices Vader's helmet, which we see Anakin's eye. And she escapes with her life, like you said. And now she's going to hiding until hopefully she shows back up in season four. Which hasn't been confirmed, but Dave Filoni wore a shirt over the weekend. Said with a, I think it said Ahsoka Tano with a question mark, right? And then he changed his shirt to said Ahsoka Lives. And he swears, I didn't change my shirt. He's trying to be funny with everybody. But I think he's alluding to that she'll be back in season four. And so we'll see. That. And I think she'll be back. You know, I think we have to see our story arc finish and all this. And so that's about as far as Ahsoka's story arc is going so far, is that she went into hiding after her epic battle with Darth Vader. Because now she knows it's Anakin. I don't think she wants Anakin to find her. So she went into the temple, from the looks of it, at the end of season two.
Hide herself from his feeling of the Force.
Right. Well, as Darth Maul's arc continued into this new season, where he finally meets back up with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
And they meet on Tatooine, where Obi-Wan has been hiding since the end of Revenge of the Sith. And we get a moment of dialogue between the two. They have this, I don't even want to call it a mutual respect, but they have an understanding of each other.
Yes.
Of what they've been through and the battles they've had together over the years. And I think Darth Maul knows he can't beat Obi-Wan, but he's going to certainly try, because Sith think in absolutes and they think in the ideas of revenge. And to him, he's going to go after Obi-Wan no matter if it costs him his life. And in one swift swoosh of his lightsaber, Obi-Wan does end Darth Maul's life.
Yes.
And because he has focus, he has the Force by his side, and he's out for revenge. So Obi-Wan, even as an older man, is able to focus and kill Darth Maul.
As an old man,
too. It's a peaceful, it's almost a serenity-like peaceful ending to Darth Maul.
Yeah.
This dark character that was just led to the dark side of the Force this whole time, and is given an ending that was simple, but yet it just felt right for that character. You know,
and he knows he's been protecting someone,
right? Yeah, and he tells him, is he the chosen one? And he says yes, which opened up all kinds of new Star Wars canon that Luke's the chosen one,
yeah,
to bring balance to the Force, which we know he does at the end of Return of the Jedi. But now with the Last Jedi trailer, how much balance is there?
Yeah,
so lots of speculation in the Star Wars universe.
I always felt that Anakin Skywalker was the chosen one.
Right.
And even though he turned, he made it right. He brought balance to the Force by destroying the Emperor.
Right.
But you could argue that Luke pushed him. Luke was the reason why.
Right.
You know, he was able to.
Or maybe we're just reading too much into it, and maybe, you know, it's just, and they just like to throw people off. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Like, oh yeah, we're gonna throw this out there. We're gonna word this differently, so that all these people out there just talk Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars. and it's working.
So, other than Darth Maul's story arc in Season 3, we've gotten a lot more. The Rebellion is opening up. We get to see Bail Organa, and we get to see other characters that are involved, Mon Mothma, that are involved in the Rebellion, as we see this Rebellion growing towards what we see in Rogue One. And it's really well done how it all comes together. And the Ghost goes from a ragtag crew of kind of almost pirate-like characters that help the Rebellion where they can, but they do their own thing,
yeah,
to being full-fledged in the middle of this all in the Rebellion. And we had an epic space battle at the end of Season 3 as the Mandalore showed up to help the Rebellion, because it looked like Lothal was not going to make it through the end of the episode. Mm-mm. And we're able to get the Empire to retreat. And not necessarily a victory, because we all know Rogue One, the Battle of Scarif, was the first true victory for the Rebellion. But more of a, I wouldn't say it was a victory at the end of Star Wars Rebels, but they escaped with their lives to live another day, more of an awakening for the rebellion to realize, well, we have to step up our game if we're going to go after the Empire.
Yes. Yeah. It's the battle was won, but not the war.
Right. good point to put it. So Star Wars Rebels, you know, it's brought a lot to the Star Wars universe so far. A lot of little things, a lot of tie-ins with the original series. I think we saw Dak in an episode. We had a young Wedge in a few episodes. how do you see it ending? How do you see season four going down?
I kind of like how we described it earlier. Everyone dies. Few people escape.
Yeah.
It looks, from the trailer, it looks like just apathy.
I know they showed the first episode at Star Wars Celebration to select people.
Oh, wow.
And people said it's very well done, that it's going to be an exciting season.
I think it ends kind of like Rogue One does. You know, everyone going out in a beam of light, you know, except, a lightsaber light.
And you know, Disney has shown light. That everyone thought Disney going to Star Wars was going to wussify it in some ways, if that's the right word. And they haven't. They've shown with Rogue One that they're willing to kill characters. They killed Darth Maul on a cartoon. It's so rare to see a cartoon character die. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think they're afraid to maybe end Star Wars Rebels with Kanan dying. Possibly Kanan and Ezra. Who knows? You know, it's very possible. We'll see where they go from here. Where do you think they go next with Star Wars Animation after Rebels?
Man, what's the next?
I would love to see a post Return of the Jedi animated series.
Yeah, that's the only thing we could really go with.
I would love to see further adventures of Luke and Han. You know, and you can do it without over-canonizing it. You don't have to necessarily tie it in with The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just have these guys doing some fun stuff, you know, and maybe end it when Ben Solo's born or something, you know?
And then go into the Knights of Ren and right. How they were created.
Yeah, I would love to see an era with Luke and Han in an animated series. I think that would be a lot of fun. That's what I want to see. What would you want to see? Because I think we've had enough prequel stuff.
Yeah, we have. It's time to move on. You know, there's other aspects where there were blank spots. And I think after Return of the Jedi is a good spot to speculate something happened.
There's a reason they had Force Awakens take place 30 years later. Not just because Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford were old. Yeah. But, you know, that gives them a sandbox to play with those 30 years. And I think that's what I want to see. And maybe we'll get an announcement at Comic-Con or D23, but I think by the end of the summer, it's very possible we get an announcement with the next Star Wars animated series was. And speaking of animated series, before we go, did you see that they're doing a YouTube series called Forces of Destiny? And it is canon, and it's going to star the women of Star Wars. It's going to have, like, little animated shorts on YouTube with, like, Jyn Ezra, Rey, Padme, and others. And it's geared towards young ladies, and I think this is a really cool idea. You know, because as we know, we've had Rey and Jyn in the new generation of Star Wars. We all grew up with Princess Leia. And I think that's great to reach out to female audiences and give young ladies role models and something to look up to.
Yeah.
So that's a cool idea. I don't know how many people will tune into YouTube to watch it, but YouTube has become a platform for further media.
Yeah. And, you know, just seeing what all these other... Was it YouTube that bought the rights to stream? I know we don't talk football here, but I know. Was it YouTube that bought the rights to stream NFL games?
That was Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's like all these information and all these other platforms are they're stepping up their game. They're releasing more information to you. Maybe we'll see more of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Rebels on YouTube.
So, Star Wars Rebels, watch it if you haven't. There's lots of places I'm sure online you can stream it. Probably Vudu, iTunes, all kinds of places. If you haven't watched it yet, man, the series is so good. Good people,
it is.
Watch the Last Jedi trailer about 20 more times if you want, and we'll continue to get ready for Star Wars: The Last Jedi as we get closer to December here on Remnants of the Rebellion. And that's all we've got today. Big week, Star Wars Celebration. It happened. It's here. That was our follow-up show. We hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for supporting Remnants of Rebellion so far since it's taken off. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Google+ and all those social media outlets so you can keep up with the latest news. And leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all the different ways you can watch our show. And thank you for listening, as always. And this has been Mark. And
this has been Matt.
And until next time... The Jedi must end.